Well, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles back out and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we're starting a short new series titled, God Tested Abraham, Faith Enough to Do the Unthinkable. Faith Enough to Do the Unthinkable. Genesis chapter 22. And it's the first 19 verses of this chapter, but this morning the plans are just to go through the first 10 verses, and so that the rest of us here in church can get to Skippers in time before the line starts there. So if you have your Bible open, I'm going to be reading those verses to you in just a moment from what we're going to be looking at this morning. The main lesson is this. The main lesson, God tests our faith so that when He commands us to do the unthinkable, we obey. Because once we obey, we see the grace of God poured out upon us. Poured out upon us. Now, for you guys here today, the screen is green, and it has to be that way for the online folks. So you might not be able to see the words really good, but that's okay. Just listen to me and you'll know what they are, okay? Got a little interesting story here. In 1893, engineer George Ferris, does that word ring a bell? Ferris? George Ferris built a machine that bears his name, the Ferris wheel. When it was finished, he invited a newspaper reporter to accompany him and his wife for the very first ride of the very first Ferris wheel in the world. It was a windy July day, so there was a stiff breeze that struck the Ferris wheel with great force as it slowly began to make its rotation. And despite the wind, the wheel turned flawlessly. And after the very first revolution of the very first Ferris wheel, they stopped the machine, and all those who boarded it for the first time safely got off the Ferris wheel. In braving that one revolution on the windblown Ferris wheel, each occupant demonstrated genuine faith. For Mr. Ferris's wife and the reporter, they demonstrated faith in the creator of the Ferris wheel. And for Mr. Ferris, he demonstrated his faith in the scientific knowledge that developed the Ferris wheel. But for each of them, they demonstrated personal, experiential faith. Faith. Mr. Ferris and the reporter and his wife, the first ever to ride a Ferris wheel. And who would have thought it would have taken nothing less than genuine faith to get on. James, Jesus' half-brother, in James chapter 1, verse 3, writes this, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." In school, I didn't meet many students that enjoyed taking tests. Probably you didn't either while you were in school. In the school of our journey of faith, sometimes God tests our faith like He did Abraham. And probably not many of us like when God tests our faith, because oftentimes, as it was for Abraham, when God tests our faith, it's hard. It's painful. Even though for Abraham, he did pass the test, it was still a staggeringly hard test of his faith. He was willing to give up his son Isaac to God. He exhibited the strongest faith that he has ever exhibited, at least that we've seen from the scripture in his whole life. He passed the test. God blessed him for that. Now let me ask a series of questions to you at home and to you guys here this morning. How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? Where do we draw the line when it comes to what God commands us to do? Where do we say, okay, Lord, nope, not going to go any further than this. This is as much faith as you'll get and this is as much as I will obey you. Are you willing to give up your Isaacs to God in complete obedience in faith? You know, if not, I completely understand. I really do. I understand. But here's the thing. That's not where God wants us to be in our walk of faith. God wants us to get to where Abraham was in his walk of faith when he was willing to give up his Isaac to obey the Lord. He'll test us to show us the very quality of our faith. The question is, are we willing to be tested? How strong do you feel your faith is? How strong is your faith in God? If God were to test your faith as he did Abraham, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the very best, how would you do? How would you do? Now be honest. Be honest with yourself. How would you do? This morning, we look at chapter 22 of Genesis and see that God tested Abraham's faith by asking him to do the unthinkable. Give God his Isaac. And to believe the impossible, that God could actually raise the dead. We see four things in chapter 22 of Genesis. We see the probe, the proof, the provision, and the posterity, all concerning Abraham. Now, this morning, I'm only planning to go through the first two of those things, the proof and the probe. And all God's people said, amen. I heard you guys at home. So point number one is this. Point number one is this. The probe of Abraham's faith, and this is a test. A test. Look at verses 1 through 2. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Now, one commentator said that the words that Abraham says, here I am, is the language of relationships. The language of relationships. That this is giving us the fact that the proof that the fact that Abraham and God had a relationship. All right? Verse 2 says, he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Now, did God just tell us a little bit about Abraham's relationship with his son? He sure did. Your one and only son, great cost here. The son whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, how many of us at that point would have said, oh, time out. That's asking way too much of me, God. How many of us would have done that? Has God ever probed the depth of your faith? Is he probing the depth of your faith right now through the life of Abraham? God probes the depth of our faith through tests. Dr. Adrian Rogers says, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. If you can't test it, how do you know it's real? How do you know it's trustworthy? The Bible tells us that some unspecified time after Isaac had been weaned, probably a number of years later, God tested Abraham to see if he feared the Lord, to see if he would hold back his most precious one and only son whom he loved. God tested Abraham's allegiance. He tested his faith, he tested his trust, he tested his very heart. And here's the thing. We know it was a test. We do, right? But at the time, Abraham didn't know it was a test. He didn't know that. I'm thankful that we know it's a test, even if Abraham doesn't. It helps brace us for the shock of what God asked Abraham to do. God, in essence, said, take the life of your one and only son, the son that you love. I want you to take him and execute him for me. No explanations. That's all he said. To execute him, to sacrifice him. It makes it a little bit more holy, doesn't it, when we say sacrifice? It sounds a little bit less harsh, right? Sacrifice him. But really, it was an execution. Because this, in ancient Near Eastern culture, burnt offerings were not placed on the fire alive. The custom, the ritual was to first bleed the sacrifice to death. Bleed them to death. And it gets even worse, Patty. And then after that, they were to cut the sacrifice into pieces and then lay the pieces on the altar. Now, Abraham's from the ancient Near Eastern culture, and I'm thinking this is going through his mind. God, I've got to slit his throat first, watch him bleed to death, then cut him into pieces, and then put him on the altar. Wow. Could God ask you to do something as sacrificial as that? What would be your answer to him? I can only imagine the horrific thoughts racing through Abraham's mind. And I, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us what Abraham was feeling. But I asked myself and I asked you, does it really need to? Right? Does the Bible really need to explain to us the feelings of Abraham? God already has he not? Your one and only son, the one you love. Now listen, some of you guys are probably thinking that redheaded stepchild, you'd be willing to sacrifice. But not the good one, right? Not the favored one. Not that one. You know, it's like a church that I used to pastor in Kentucky. The nursery needed some new toys. So the answer was to get all the toys from every member's house that were missing people, missing pieces, or halfway good toys, bring them out of the attic and give them to the church. Right? We're going to give all the stuff to the church that we don't want. What a huge sacrifice, right? That's not what God's asking here. God's not asking Abraham to give Ishmael. He's asking Abraham to give Isaac, the son of the promise, after 100 years. You mean to tell me, Lord, now? Well, probably 113 years. Now you're wanting me to sacrifice? I've waited this long, and now you're wanting me to do this to him. I can only imagine the horrific thoughts racing through Abraham's mind. But here's the thing, in the midst of those thoughts, his mind stayed on who? Jehovah. His mind stayed on his God. Moses, again, gives us some of the details here, but to me, this is unthinkable, right? God's asking Abraham to give his one and only son. This is unthinkable. This is heart-wrenching. Pastor Hughes writes, God was asking Abraham to act against common sense. You know that old thing we always say when we have to step out on faith? You know what we say, don't you? Well, God gave us a brain, right? Let's use it. And at this point, what is God telling Abraham? Don't use your brain. Step out on faith. Because at any point, this is illogical, isn't it? Sane people don't sacrifice their kids. Right? People with brains don't do this kind of thing. Well, as Pastor Hugh says, it goes against common sense. It goes against his natural affections and his lifelong hope. Sometimes living by faith goes against our better judgment, one theologian said. Sometimes living by faith really makes no sense. Living by faith is illogical so much of the time from a human perspective. Do you hear me? From a human perspective, walking by faith may seem illogical and unreasonable. Notice how God highlights the cost to Abraham. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go. Go. The testing of our faith can be very costly. It can be very costly. Because there's no telling what God may ask us to give to him in sacrifice. Living by faith can make life very difficult, can it not? At least initially. But then as our faith grows, the difficulties become less challenging because the quality of our faith has grown. At the end of Abraham's life, God subjects him to the most severe test of faith in his whole life. God tests our faith. Those tests are hard. They can cut at the very fabric of our hearts and of our minds. But that is the way God works in our lives. all for His glory and for our good. God tests us by probing the quality of our faith. Now, I just want to, one quick word here on human sacrifices. One quick word. Now, I want you to rest assured in your mind that God would never ask you to sacrifice any of your kids. All right? Don't worry about that. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the Levitical law forbids God's people to give human sacrifices. And you say, well, what about now? Well, the Levitical law hadn't been given yet, all right? And yet, I don't believe, as we know from the end of the story, it wasn't God's intentions for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, was it? It was just God's intentions to see if he would, to see if he would trust in the Lord. But nonetheless, God could ask you to give up that thing which is nearest and dearest to your heart to test your faith. So God painfully probes our faith to show us the quality of faith we have in Him. So that's the first point. The probe of Abraham's faith, a test. You know, I keep thinking about everything that's transpired this past week, and I keep thinking, Lord, are you about to test my faith? And if He does, that would be a good thing. That would be a good thing. God sometimes knocks us down, doesn't He? But for good reasons. Listen to this story. Have you ever heard of the story of the birth of a giraffe? Listen to this story. This is a true story. Gary Richmond tells this story of a mother giving birth to a giraffe. He writes, "The moment that we had anticipated was not a disappointment. A calf, a plucky male, hurled forth, falling 10 feet and landing on its back. The mother gives birth standing up, and the distance to the ground from the birth canal to the ground is about 10 feet. Now, to put that in perspective, a professional basketball goal is 10 feet tall. Okay? Pretty tall, right? Pretty high. So, after falling 10 feet, the baby calf laid there for a few moments, and then it tried getting to its feet. Unable to get up, the mother moved over the baby and watched it for about a minute. Then came the shocking surprise. The mother giraffe swung her great long leg outward and booted the baby through the air. The calf sprawled head over heels across the ground, puzzled and protesting. The mother giraffe wanted the baby to get up on its feet, and if it didn't, she would do it again. And even though the baby was tired of fighting to get to its feet, the mother would not give it a break. She came over and gave it another hearty kick. And finally, the baby got to its feet. Now you think, amen, right? Gary said he and the rest of the zoological staff were just cheering the baby giraffe. But that's not the end of the story. After the baby giraffe gets to its feet, it's wobbly for sure. It's standing there on its spindly little legs, and then out of nowhere, the mother giraffe comes over and knocks the baby off its feet. Why? One zoologist said, so it would never forget how to get up. Praise the Lord, Alice didn't do that to any of our kids. Gary said this, it got kicked and knocked down, but for a good reason. So it would remember how to get up. You see, God probes our faith in the same rough, hard way sometimes. He gives us a kick here, gives us a kick there. He knocks us back on the ground. It may seem cold and it may seem cruel, but our Heavenly Father knows sometimes we need that kind of tough love to toughen us up in our faith for things to come, for assignments that He wants to give us, to grow our faith so that we can know the quality of our faith. God tests us so that we'll have enough faith, listen, to do the unthinkable and to believe the impossible. He gives us those kinds of tests so that we'll do whatever He requires to go wherever he sends, whenever he sends us. Let me finish up with the words of Warren Wiersbe, finish this point. Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems unreasonable, and expect what seems impossible. The probe of Abraham's faith, a test, verses 1 through 2. Next, God's not disappointed. At least he's not disappointed at this time in Abraham's life, because next we see the proof of Abraham's faith. He passes this horrifying test with flying colors. Point number 2 is this, the proof of Abraham's faith, obedience. Look at verse 3 with me, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 10. Page 16 in the Pew Bible if you need that. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." You hear the optimism here. We'll go over and worship and then come to you. The faith. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand, he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," he said, "here am I, my son," he said. "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son." Hope, hope, faith. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Well, as horrifically astounding as God's probing test of Abraham's faith was, it is equally astounding as to the genuine proof of Abraham's faith. How do we know? We see immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Abraham appears to have faith enough to do the unthinkable and to believe the impossible. If God makes me take his life, God will raise him from the dead. Early the next morning, the scripture says, after receiving the divine command to execute his son, Abraham immediately prepares for the journey to Mount Moriah. Verse 3 tells us that. And he leaves. He goes. 3 days later, they arrive in Moriah, and Abraham sees the place of execution. Now, when I read 3 days later, it makes me think about something. What does it make you think about? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? There is some Christology in this passage. There is God pointing to the real, true sacrificial lamb here in this passage. And the resurrection. He had 3 days to change his mind. Have you ever thought about that? He travels 3 days from Gerar to Mount Moriah. 3 days, three grueling, intensive days to change his mind. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us do you think would have changed your mind and turned around and went home? It's hard to know, isn't it? I know I would have thought about it, that's for sure. I would have thought about it. 3 days' journey. He had 3 days to turn around. But Abraham exhibited the proof of his faith. 3 days, he arrived at the place where he could see Mount Moriah with unflinching faith. And he doesn't turn around and go back home. Would you have blamed him if he did? Would you have blamed Abraham if he would have said, "God, this is just too hard. I cannot obey you. I cannot do this. I don't have the faith to do it." But here what we see, it was hard, but Abraham obeyed anyway. You know, this is the thing that we hear about today in so many of these TV preachers, is that this name it, claim it kind of gospel, this if you come to Christ, you'll get everything you want. You'll have great sunny days, and everything will be fine. All of your problems will be taken care of. We hear that kind of bull malarkey. But really what the Scriptures show us here is that true faith in God doesn't promise His sunny days and no rain. What it promises is very much difficulties that will come to you because God puts them in your life. God, the Bible says that He is the giver of prosperity, but He is also the giver of calamity. And when He does bring these kinds of tests in our life, it's for our good. It's for His glory. But never think that obeying Christ is easy. Is it the best thing to do? Yeah, it is the best thing to do. But sometimes it's not very easy. A.W. Tozer writes, "The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience. Nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are at opposite sides of the same coin." Did you notice the sound of hope in Abraham's voice through this passage? Verse 5, "Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.'" There's hope here. There's hope in the midst of this strife and this stressful situation. In the midst of this probing test, there's hope in his voice. Truly, truly, there is only hope in the obedience of God's command. Anything less is hopelessness. Obedience opens up the doors of God's storehouse of provision. And we're going to see that next week. Notice how Abraham puts it. Isaac asks, "Where is the lamb for burnt offering?" Verse 7. Abraham answers, "God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." Abraham didn't know when. He didn't know how. He didn't know what. He just simply and profoundly and unhesitatingly knew God would keep His promise, that Isaac would be the son of the promise. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and following, the Bible says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." We have a wonderful, strong God. Abraham had faith enough to obey God's hard command, and he had faith enough that God would give Isaac back to him if he did have to sacrifice him. And church family, there's no better proof that we have faith than obeying God. What kind of faith does God want us to possess? Well, faith that will trust Him and trust in the promises of God, that no matter what He commands, that we will obey. He wants us to have faith enough to do the unthinkable that He asks us to do. Verses 9 through 10 tell us of Abraham's complete obedience. And at the end of verse 10, we finish up with these words, "Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son." So this is a picture of what I would call ultimate obedience. Now, how could he obey, one person asked? And what's the answer? By faith. He could obey. That's how. Listen, this is not just some kind of abstract lesson where we pat Abraham on the back and say, "Good job, Abraham." This is not some kind of fairy tale that we're supposed to just pick out the platitudes from it. This is true life. This really took place in history. God really made this request of Abraham, and Abraham obeyed Him to the very, very in. And here's the thing, our faith should be the same kind of faith that Abraham had. God expects each and every one of us, you and me, to have this kind of faith. And if we don't, then just be ready for the probing test of God. so that He can move us to this place in our journey of faith. Our faith is to be exercised in obedience, because faith without obedience is a dead faith. This half-brother Jesus said, "But some will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Now, works do not save us. They never have, they never will. But if we are saved, there should be works of faith that show that. So the proof that we have real faith in God is giving Him our unlimited obedience. Faith enough to do the unthinkable, and faith enough to believe the impossible. That's point number two, the proof of Abraham's faith, obedience. Now, on December 4th, 1893, I'm going to give you three names. Listen to them. Walter Gowans and Roland Bingham of Toronto, Canada, and Thomas Kent of Buffalo, New York, landed at Lagos, Nigeria. Their aim was to establish a witness among the 60 million people of what was then commonly known as the Sudan, the area south of the Sahara between the Niger River and the Nile. Gowans and Kent, listen, died in the first few months there. Bingham returned to Canada, formed a council, and went back to Africa in 1900, 7 years later, and that attempt, too, was unsuccessful. But in 1901, Bingham sent a party out that succeeded in establishing the mission's first base at Padigai, some 500 miles up the Niger River. When these first Sudan interior missionaries, these pioneers, landed in Nigeria, listen, Gowan was 25 years old, Bingham was 2 weeks shy of his 21st birthday, and Kent was 23. One theologian writes, "It is not the multitude of hard duties, it is not constraint and contention that advance us in our Christian course. On the contrary, it is the yielding of our wills without restriction and without choice, to tread cheerfully every day in the path in which Providence leads us, to seek nothing, to be discouraged by nothing, to seek out duty in the present moment, to trust all else without reserve to the will and power of God." That is a true picture of the faith of Walter Gowans, Roland Bingham, and Thomas Kent. James chapter 2, verse 20 and following says this, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.'" Well, the proof of Abraham's faith, obedience. So we looked at two things about Abraham's journey of faith today when God tested him. First, we saw the probe of Abraham's faith, this huge test that God gave to him. And then we saw the proof of Abraham's faith, pure, unblemished obedience. So God tests our faith so that when He commands us to do the unthinkable, we obey. And when we obey, He opens up the storehouse of His provision for us. Let me close with just this little story. A businessman had to travel to a small town for a meeting and invited his wife to come with him. She was so excited about the trip until she learned her husband was going to be flown to that small town in a little two-engine Cessna plane. "Honey, I've decided not to go." "What? Why not?" "I am not going in a little bitty twin-engine Cessna." Her husband smiled and knowingly said, "Honey, your faith is too small." To which she responded, "No, the plane is too small." The businessman wanted his wife to go with him, so he canceled the reservations with the Cessna pilot and booked travel on a major airline. his wife decided to go with him. All because she put her faith in a big plane rather than a small one. She said to her husband, "My faith grew because the size of the plane grew." Can't really blame her. Now listen, the object of her faith determined how much faith she decided to have. We have a great big God, don't we? He is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. And we can put all of our faith in Him to do the unthinkable and to believe the impossible. And sometimes He tests us just to show us that we can trust Him. George Mueller writes, "God delights to increase the faith of His children. I say, and say it deliberately, trials, difficulties, and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. We should take them out of His hands as evidences of His love and care for us. In developing more and more that faith which He is seeking to strengthen in us." Well, I began with some questions and I'm going to end with some questions. How strong do we feel our faith is? Where do we draw the line when it comes to what God can command us to do and what He can't command us to do? Where do we draw that line? God tested Abraham's faith by asking him to do the unthinkable and to believe the impossible. Give your son, your one and only son, the son you love, unthinkable, and believe the impossible, that God could even raise him from the dead. Are you willing, are we willing, to give up our Isaacs to God in complete obedience by faith? Are we willing to do that? Well, next Sunday, two more points to this short little series. We've seen the probe of Abraham's faith, a test. We've seen the proof of Abraham's faith, obedience. And next week, you're going to want to be back. We're going to see the provision for Abraham's faith, a substitute. And finally, we're going to see the posterity of faithful Abraham blessed. So let me encourage you to come back next Sunday, if you would, and be a part of that, whether it's online or here in person. Just be back for the rest of this mini-series, God Tested Abraham, Faith Enough to Do the Unthinkable. Well, it's been good to be with you, church family. Thank you. It's been good to be with you at home, church family. And I pray God's blessings on the rest of our days here on Sunday, and God's blessing on our church and on our country. We pray for that.